That's a cardinal saying, "Count me in." Tens of thousands of birders nationwide are taking part in the Christmas Bird Count going on now through January 5th. Are you out there counting or watching for birds? We'll talk with a bird expert this hour about what species are making their presence known, including some unusual sightings in our backyard for this time of year. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, December 24th. A Merry Christmas Eve to you. We'll also discuss some bird conservation success stories this year, the increase in the number of bird cities in the state, and how we can best serve our feathered friends. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question or a sighting that you'd like to report. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Andy Paulius, coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks so much for joining us on this holiday. We appreciate it. So tell us what the Christmas Bird Count is all about.
Well, this time of year, it's a big tradition for bird watchers all over the country to participate in the Christmas Bird Count. It's run by the National Audubon Society, and it's basically a sort of repeatable way for folks to get out there and have fun counting birds, but also collect information on kind of what's going on with our winter bird populations all over the country, and now even down into Central America. They even run some Christmas bird counts down there.
Neat. So what do we learn from this information?
Well, it started over 100 years ago, so there's been big changes over the last 100 years. So slowly but surely, over the last 100 years, you can learn about how species ranges might change due to things like climate change. You can learn kind of more in a real-time sense if it's an eruption year for certain species. Like this year, we have a really good year for red poles and pine siskins and a lot of the winter finches that are leaving the boreal forest.
Mm-hmm.
And you might learn sort of just better the status, the long-term status or the health of a lot of these bird populations.
Are we seeing things like climate change making a difference in the species that we're seeing or counting?
There definitely are species that are responding to a changing climate. The National Audubon Society and partners came out with a report a few years ago just sort of analyzing their long-term Christmas bird count data. And a lot of species have, the centers of their wintering ranges have moved quite a bit north and northwest of where they were 50 years ago. And in Wisconsin, we've seen a lot of these sorts of things. It would have been very unusual 50 years ago to see a lot of Canada geese, for example, in the winter in Wisconsin. And of course, now we're blessed with them year-round in a lot of places, or even sandhill cranes and things like that. So last winter, we had a lot of sandhill cranes that even spent most of the winter in Wisconsin because of how warm it was.
So are we getting reports already of what of the types of birds people are seeing this time of year?
Yeah, a lot of the Christmas bird counts, you know, starts, I think, every year on December 14th. So we're, you know, over a week into the season, and it's been a really interesting fall and early winter. We have a lot of fun birds that are kind of coming down from Canada, so a lot of pine siskins and red poles, but people are reporting a lot of pine grosbeaks in northern and central Wisconsin, and bohemian waxwings, and other sort of visitors from our friends in Canada, and a fair number of snowy owls, and even a northern hawk owl, which is kind of a rare bird, showed up in Door County, has been there for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Now, so what does that mean, that a northern hawk owl, which is typically found in Canada, is in Door County?
Well, it's only one bird, so it's not really a pattern, but so it's hard to say if there's, you know, represents something greater, but it certainly represents an opportunity for birders who have never seen a really cool bird like a hawk owl to go and see one. And then, of course, Door County. It's never a bad idea to go to Door County. So they're probably taking advantage of other things too when they go up there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know what I saw in the paper the other day was that there's a rare, or at least rare for these parts, hummingbird, a rufous hummingbird that's in southeastern Wisconsin.
Right. That's been sort of the other interesting thing from this fall. We had, I think, a record number of reports of rufous hummingbird. That's a western hummingbird that nests all the way up into Alaska, and it's very adapted for cold temperatures. They can kind of go into torpor at night to survive the high elevation, you know, Rocky Mountain sort of weather or Alaskan weather. And they've been wintering now more and more in the southeast U.S. And this year we had a number of reports in Wisconsin, and there's still three or four rufous hummingbirds that are hanging on across southern Wisconsin, which is hard to imagine that a little hummingbird can make it through this last storm that we had, but they seem to have.
Yeah, I saw that on a birding group on Facebook, that people were worried about the blizzard and whether those babies were gonna survive it, and they're I guess humming around even after that storm. So that's any other exotic birds being reported?
You know, there's been a few towns and solitaires, which are another sort of visitor from Alaska or the Rocky Mountains, and I'm probably forgetting one or two, but of course the hardcore birders get into gull identification, and there's been some really interesting gulls around too, but that involves traveling to a landfill, so most of your listeners probably are rolling their eyes.
No, you know what? It's funny because my sister and her husband traveled to a landfill in Lake Mills, I think it was, just a few days ago, and saw some, I think it was a gull that was way off course, or it was from, it's called Siberian something?
Yeah, there's a slaty-backed gull, which they're getting more common in the U.S., but yeah, they're a Siberian nester, and they're probably the birds that are coming over through Alaska. I think they nest even now in far, far northwestern Alaska. But yeah, you know that you've become a hardcore birder when you're traveling to a landfill to look at visitors from Siberia.
Yeah. So are there enough people looking for birds these days and taking part in the Christmas bird count, or can people still take part if they want to?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, probably two-thirds of the Christmas bird counts have taken place, because a lot of people try to put those towards the beginning of the period, but there's still probably a fair number available, and the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology kind of keeps track of all the Christmas bird count circles in Wisconsin, of which I know that there are something around 100 that happen every year, and they go all the way through January 6th. So if you go to their webpage, which is just wsobirds.org, you can click on the research tab, and you can see a Google map of all the Christmas bird counts with contact information for the count organizers on their website.
So. And that was wsobirds.org?
Yep.
Well, maybe I'll ask Judith Sears-Poisson to put that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Judith is in with me this morning. We thank her for spending her holiday with us very early in the morning as we are discussing birds this hour and welcoming your sightings. Have you spotted any unusual birds lately, or a favorite bird perhaps in your own backyard? Are you taking part in the Christmas bird count? What bird-related questions do you have for our guest? Andy Paulius from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And why not, you can tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show as well. Checking our Christmas Eve morning forecast. It's going to be cloudy, some patchy light freezing drizzle possible, and there is a chance of snow. Highs today in the upper 20s in the north, getting into the lower 30s in the south. Skies clearing tonight, very cold. Lows 4 below zero in the north to just single digits above in the south. And then tomorrow, Christmas Day, mostly sunny and cold. Highs tomorrow will be in the teens and 20s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, how pretty. That's an evening grosbeak, encouraging you to call in with your bird sightings and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You should also have the kiddos call in today from 11 until 12:30 when a Christmas Eve tradition continues on the Ideas Network. Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, I believe, too, will be joining Larry Mueller after 11 this morning to find out what your children want for Christmas this year. I'm Joy Cardine, and it is coming up on 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Christmas Eve morning, talking about birds, including what's happening with the Christmas bird count with the DNR's Andy Paulius, who is also the coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Initiative. And I have here, Andy, some bird conservation success stories for 2012. It says here that 2012 was an incredible year for bird conservation in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working on sort of a end of the year highlight piece that really the Bird Conservation Initiative is 175 partners, you know, agencies or non-governmental organizations or businesses around the state. And oftentimes, in conservation, we focus on, you know, what we could do better or what we still need to do. But it's often good to sort of take a little bit of time to recognize all the great things that have happened. And there was a lot of, when I started talking to my colleagues and partners around the state, I was amazed by how many really important things happened this year or sort of milestones that we reached this year in bird conservation.
Well, let's talk about one of them, and we'll talk about many as we go along, but it says there's been great success with the Avon Bottoms Important Bird Area. What's that?
Yeah, so the Important Bird Area program is actually a global program now that just sort of recognizes, based on some scientific criteria, places that are the most important places for birds. And in Wisconsin, we have over 80 important bird areas that were identified by a team of scientists in Wisconsin and coordinated by my colleague, Georgie Steele. And Avon Bottoms, for those of you that live in Janesville or Beloit, is in southwest Rock County. And it's really a really neat sort of ribbon of habitat along the lower Sugar River. And it's a great place. It's got a lot of nice floodplain forest habitat and a great place to see prothonotary warblers and red-shouldered hawks and a lot of neat things. And in the last few years, the DNR and the Natural Resources Conservation Service and private landowners have added over almost 4,000 acres of new wetland and grassland restoration there, which is... in this day and age, with high commodity prices and farm fields and other challenges, it's a really incredible achievement. You can go and visit now and see over 2,000 acres of new prairie restoration all in one patch, which is probably the biggest prairie restoration I've seen in a long time, just all in one area. And you can see lots of great birds. In fact, right now, I know people are seeing 5 to 10 short-eared owls that are hopefully spending the winter there. If you go in the evening, and you can watch them sort of hovering around looking for mice to eat.
Oh, short-eared owls?
Yeah, it's a great bird. They kind of fly around almost like a big oversized moth, and they fly low to the ground and they listen for the meadow voles or the mice to kind of scurry under the grass or the snow, and they plunge down and grab them. So it's a great a great place to take the family to watch some pretty cool wildlife.
Very neat. You know, I never did get to see my snowy owl that I wanted to see when we last talked during the fall migration. Do I still have the opportunity to see snowy owls?
Yep. Yeah, it's actually been a pretty good year for, it looks like it'll be a good year for snowy owls. Not as good as last year. Last year was pretty unprecedented, but yeah, there are a number of snowy owls. I think a lot of the sort of the Great Lakes harbor towns have snowy owls sort of spending the winter in the harbor. But I actually just took the family up to Green Bay two nights ago to go to the Festival of Lights in the Botanical Garden. And on the way, of course, we had to stop and look for a snowy owl by Freedom. And we were able to find it. It actually landed on a phone pole right above our car, and we were able to watch him for a while.
Oh, how neat. So you knew that one was spotted around Freedom, so you took a little detour?
My kids are very used to taking unplanned detours, yes.
Yeah, well, speaking of, it's not exactly the lakeshore, but Cliff in Fond du Lac saw two white pelicans this morning. And he's wondering, are they able to overwinter in that area?
Yeah, there are. The last 5 or 10 years, of course, we have a lot more nesting pelicans now than we have for the last 50 years. They've made a really good comeback. But there's enough open water in the sort of the Fox River Lake Winnebago chain system that a few do overwinter every year, and some probably choose to do it because they've sort of learned how to catch fish in the winter below these dams and stuff. And then some others might, you know, they might be in poor health, or they might be partly injured too. So so yeah, we've had off and on sightings like that the last few years. We're still early into winter too, so given that big storm that we had a few days ago, there are still a few birds that are maybe just haven't figured out that maybe they should leave already. In fact, we had, the day after that big storm, thousands and thousands of sandhill cranes finally left the state Friday morning. So it was a pretty impressive sight to see.
Oh, yeah, so they thought enough is enough after that storm?
Right, yeah. I mean, so, they were able to hang out on the Wisconsin River and other places, and as long as they can get to the crop fields, they're fine. But after 20 inches of new snow, they're going to head to Indiana. So.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Andy Paulius. He is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we are talking about birds. Tens of thousands of birders nationwide are taking part in the annual Christmas bird count. Are you among them? Are you just a birder and you're checking out the birds of winter in Wisconsin? Let us know your bird-related questions or the birds you are seeing in your own backyard at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And with that storm, Andy, are birds able to weather that storm, so to speak, or should we be doing anything extra if we want to help them out?
Well, there are many of our wintering birds, of course, are adapted pretty well for that sort of storm event. Every big storm like that is probably hard on birds in some level. Like I said, like things like sandhill cranes and a lot of the waterfowl and water birds that were hanging around are probably going to fly the coop. But there's always good things you can do in and around your backyard to help birds. And planting lots of native trees and shrubs and planting plants to give them good food and cover. And, of course, this is the time of year that a lot of us like to refill our bird feeders, and we get a lot of enjoyment out of watching the birds come into the feeders. And the day after that storm, my feeders were very busy, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners were.
Yeah, I had a friend who said that his feeders, it was like a scene from the birds, mainly finches. I don't know what kind of finch, but he said they were just taken over.
Yep. Yeah, that it seems to be a really good fall and winter for the different finch species in general. So whether it's siskins or redpolls if you're up north, and then down here, you know, a lot of goldfinches and house finches as well.
I remember my parents had a feeder. They lived in far northeastern Wisconsin, and I always loved to see the grosbeaks up there. I always saw them more there up north than I did down south, but they're all over?
Well, evening grosbeaks, your story is not uncommon. I think for folks that can have had enough time looking at feeders for the last, you know, 30, 40 years, what I consistently hear is after the 1980s, evening grosbeaks have really, really declined in the east, and it's sort of an ongoing mystery. And it's to the point now where it's actually kind of an uncommon bird up north in the winter. Like, you get you get pretty excited when you see them, and if you talk to folks who have lived up there for a long time, they just aren't very common anymore, which is too bad, because they're a beautiful bird and really fun to watch at the feeder. But they're also very piggish at the feeder, so it probably will save you some money on sunflower seeds.
I can just hear my dad right now. He was always complaining about that, how much they ate. But, you know, we only have a minute before a news break, but my sister wanted me to ask you, what happened to the kestrel? She used to see kestrels all the time, and now hardly at all.
Yeah, kestrels are, one of many grassland birds that, due to changes in agriculture and a lot of reforestation across the east, have really declined. And it's likely due in part to habitat loss, and then there could be some issues on the wintering grounds as well. But yeah, that's a bird that's really declined. And of course, they're a cavity nester too. So there's actually some efforts nationwide now to restore kestrel populations. And one of many different things that, you know, maybe we can talk about
after news. We will. Yeah. We'll talk about restoring areas for the kestrel and other birds. And welcome more of your bird sightings. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry. We are talking about birds, from eagles to hawks to finches and hummingbirds and other species we are seeing in Wisconsin this winter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, December 24th. Are you a birder who will travel far and wide for a glimpse of a special bird? Or someone who likes to watch the birds at your backyard feeder? Are you taking part in the Christmas bird count going on now by any chance? Call in with your bird questions and your bird sightings. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter @JoyCardineShow. Our guest is the coordinator of the Wisconsin Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Andy Paulius. And just before news, we were talking about the decline in kestrel populations, and you were mentioning that there are some efforts underway to try to restore habitat, Andy, for the kestrel?
Yeah, we have, there's an American Kestrel Partnership now that's working nationwide, and they're mostly focused on, because the kestrel is a cavity nester, of constructing nest boxes and doing some good monitoring and science around kind of what's happening to kestrels on the breeding ground. So people can participate in that. I think if they, you know, Googled the American Kestrel Restoration Project or something like that, they would find it. But you can, as a volunteer, you can, you know, build it a box and then put it out in good habitat. And good habitat for kestrels are sort of open landscapes without very many trees, and farm fields, and, you know, moderate amounts of grasslands. That could be a pasture or hay field or prairie, like on a wildlife area or something like that. So, you know, there's good places for kestrels in Wisconsin. Maybe the most famous place for kestrels and kestrel nest boxes is in There's an important bird area called the Buena Vista Wildlife Area that has a lot of prairie chickens and other grassland birds just south of Stevens Point.
Sure.
In that area, there's a few researchers there that have been doing long-term kestrel monitoring and putting lots of boxes up. So you might even see them on the backs of some of the road signs or on the telephone poles there.
So speaking of restoration, what's the latest with the whooping crane? How did that go this year?
Yeah, this year was actually a really good year for whooping cranes. There are now over 100 wild whooping cranes in Wisconsin. And we didn't have fantastic nest success this year, but this was the best nesting year they've had so far. They had, I think, 9 nests that were incubated all the way to full term. And they produced 9 chicks. And I think there are still 2 that fledged and are, you know, currently still alive in the wild. I'm not exactly sure. They're probably in Indiana or somewhere on their way down to their wintering grounds right now. But I know 2 chicks doesn't sound like a lot, but they've been having some issues in the Nisida area with nest survival and chick survival. So 2 chicks and 9 total nests is a good start. So.
I thought that the nesting grounds were going to be moved from Nisida to Horicon Marsh.
Right. They're not moved so much as they're creating an additional area.
I see.
So, so the other half of that story is they've been doing Operation Migration has been sort of working to establish a second population in the sort of the White River Marsh, Horicon Marsh area in east central Wisconsin. And the neat thing about that this year is the birds from last year successfully migrated back this spring and hung out in that area. And then another cohort of Operation Migration birds and what we call direct autumn release. So once there are big white birds in the area, you can raise chicks and release them with other whoopers and the sandhills there, and they make it down on their own. And I think last week, the last of the 6 direct autumn release birds made it down to Florida on its own. So that seems to be the migration portion of the crane effort is doing very, very well. It's getting them to be old enough and wise enough to produce chicks on their own, which has been something that's just taken a lot longer to get going. But a good year for whooping cranes,
good.
For sure.
Well, we'll talk about some other success stories and recovery stories as we go along. But we have, let's take a call from Larry in Appleton. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Yes, I understand you lead a Christmas bird count.
Yes, I lead the Fremont Christmas bird count, which Andy has sometimes taken part because he has family in the area. When there was talking about quantities of birds and other things, we set a record of near 12,000 birds this year. That's over 4,000 over our last record of last year.
Wow.
And we didn't reach our last year's species record of 56. We got 54, but we had two new species records one new species record of two hoary red poles, which are a very hard or very uncommon cousin of the common red pole. And I call it a 1 in a million shot. So that was a real bit of excitement there.
So, Andy, does that excite you to hear about that?
Well, it doesn't excite me that because I missed his Christmas concert, so I didn't get to see him. But that does seem to be a really good year for hoary red poles, which, like Larry said, is the cousin to the common red pole, pretty uncommon in Wisconsin. And Larry's point is a good one. Because it was so warm in the middle of the month, I know a number of the early counts set records for number of birds or species. I think my coworker who does the Ashland Christmas bird count, I think they had almost 60 species this year, which was like 20 species more than their all-time record. So those are some of the sorts of sightings that sort of add up over the year to give us a sense for what's going on.
And for the most part, it's because it was so mild that we were seeing some of these new species?
Right. And mild, for sure. I believe the Schwamigan Bay was still not frozen by the time of the Christmas bird count, which I think for a lot of your listeners up north, especially those that that ice fish, I know this year has been a really late ice year for a lot of those northern lakes. So that leads to a lot of ducks and other birds kind of hanging around the open water.
Yeah. Well, Larry, so besides the hoary redpoll, anything else that was of interest?
Well, there was something of interest that was rather comical. Typically, I was without a normal partner because of a conflict, and another fellow was too, so we covered both of our areas. We worked together, and with about one quarter of the circle around Fremont. But typically, we get a lot of rock pigeons. You know, they hang around farm silos, particularly. They like that. But this is the first. In a quarter of the circle, we only encountered one rock pigeon, just a lone bird perched on a silo, whereas other people got several hundred of them. So that was a comical oddity there. But along with some of the boreal species, we in what used to be the Wyawega Pond, which has been drained for a couple of years, counted a couple of song sparrows, which were a few were counted every year, but I think it's the first time I've encountered a song sparrow lingering this late in the year.
Yeah,
so you get funny things.
Well, thank you so much for letting us know, Larry. So those song sparrows, where should they have been, or where are they headed now, do you think, Andy?
You know, song sparrows, if you get sort of down below the banana belt and Madison and stuff, you'll get a few in the winter. But, yeah, that's a pretty unusual sighting. Most of them go to the southeast U.S. And that reminds me, I know there's someone in Wisconsin that has a Baltimore Oriole that's still frequenting their feeder, which, you know, that's a bird that should be in Costa Rica right now.
And so should we. But no, right. In fact, Diane from Superior called in to report that her neighbor had a Baltimore Oriole in her yard on December 12th. So that's way up in Superior.
Yeah, that's incredibly unusual, and a bit of a testament to how warm it's been, because, you know, Orioles just don't have any of the physiological adaptations to make it through a long night of below zero temperatures. So, pretty unusual. And I don't know if it'll make it much longer or if it will end up migrating. But
yeah, let's hope it does migrate out and have a Merry Christmas somewhere else. We are talking about birds, and we're welcoming your bird sightings. We're welcoming your bird-related questions. Talking with Andy Paulius, who is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a cloudy day today with some patchy light freezing drizzle and even a chance of snow. Highs today, upper 20s to low 30s. Skies clearing tonight, very cold, lows below zero, 4 below zero in the north to the single digits above in the south. And on Christmas Day, mostly sunny and cold with highs in the teens and 20s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, that is a blue jay. Have you seen a blue jay lately? What have you been hearing or seeing or hoping to hear or see this winter? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after 7, by the way, we will hear from two state lawmakers in our state capitol report. State Senator Kathleen Vinehout wants your ideas for state legislation for next year. And after 7:30, State Representative Fred Kessler will be in to answer your questions about his proposal for an assault weapons ban in Wisconsin and other gun measures. That's after 7:30. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 24th. A Merry Christmas Eve morning to you. We have been talking about the Christmas bird count and what species we are seeing in Wisconsin and other things bird-related this hour with the coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Initiative, Andy Paulius. He is also a biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. We do have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have an email from William, and Andy, he wants to know, could your guest please suggest a good basic binocular with image stabilization? I don't even know what that is. It would be a good last-minute gift for someone who is outside in the winter a lot. Do you have a recommendation on binoculars for birders?
Well, I'm not a binocular expert, and I don't have enough money to have image stabilization either. But, you know, there are a number of good binoculars in the, you know, $200 to $300 range that have, you know, lifetime warranties and very good image clarity and field of view, and we have some good places in Wisconsin to buy binoculars. One of the WBSE partners, Eagle Optics, which is in Middleton, their website is a great place to sort of look for last minute deals or give them a call on for help. In a number of different dealers, but we work with them a lot on some of these WBSE efforts, so I always recommend folks give them a call because they know a lot more about binoculars than I do.
Good advice. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about bird cities in Wisconsin. I know Milwaukee was recently named a bird city, and there are other cities in Wisconsin. Marinette, Algoma, Menominee Falls, Spring Green, and Three Lakes also got bird city recognition. What's a bird city, and what does a city do to become a bird city?
Yeah, the Bird City program is something that, you know, we piloted here in Wisconsin and I think, you know, might sort of take off nationwide. It's modeled after the Tree City program and, you know, at its core, it's basically a way to recognize communities for taking, you know, proactive steps to do bird conservation and outreach and education efforts in their community. And like you mentioned, we had a number in this last round. We got to, in just 2 years now, 60 bird cities across the state, which I think sort of speaks to how much people and communities value birds and the sorts of places that birds like to live, so our parks and even our birdie backyards and stuff. So and in order to become a bird city, they have to meet some different, you know, bird conservation or monitoring or education or outreach criteria across 7 different categories. So, so for example, you know, communities might be putting up purple martin nest boxes or building chimney swift towers, or they have to recognize International Migratory Bird Day, have some sort of event or festival, or just provide good information about birds to their community.
Very nice. Well, we have other callers. Let's go to Glenn in Delavan next. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Joy. I'm sorry, I don't remember your guest's name. I think it was
Andy. It's Andy.
Andy. Mm-hmm. Well, Merry Christmas to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
I do piers on Lake Geneva and Delavan, and I'm not necessarily what you might call an avid bird watcher. I don't really know their names and stuff like that, but me and a few of the guys were out doing some piers, and we've seen bald eagles more and more and more. But what was really interesting is just the last bit of November there, like midway or so, we all swear we saw a golden eagle. And we just thought that was really weird for Wisconsin. I'd never seen one, and the one guy, he seemed to know what he was talking about. And anyways, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, well.
Well, I was going to say, there's one more neat little thing that we saw. This was, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know if it was a peregrine or a red tail or what, but we watched a hawk stalk a squirrel through a tree, hopping from branch to branch to branch, and then he went over to a roof, and then he ambushed the squirrel. It was crazy.
Poor squirrel.
Well,
but that's nature, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and but it was awesome to watch.
Wow. So first, do you think Glenn saw a golden eagle, do you think, Andy?
Well, it's always possible. You know, people know, you know, sort of speaking of success stories, the bald eagle, of course, is a well-known success story, and our bald eagle population is doing incredibly well in Wisconsin and across the country. But golden eagles also, you know, golden eagles, the ones that we see in Wisconsin are Arctic nesters, nesting in the summer at the top of the world. And we're seeing more and more every year. The best place to see golden eagles in the winter, and they actually hold winter territories in Wisconsin, is sort of central Wisconsin, so the Glacial Lake, Wisconsin area, like around Nisida or Fort McCoy, or the Driftless area. But there are birds that are seen, you know, anywhere from early November all the way through mid-March in the rest of the state. It's, you know, they're unusual outside of those areas, but definitely possible. And the hawk story is a great one. That sounds like either a red tail or very possibly a Cooper's hawk. Cooper's hawks are sort of a common urban hawk now. They don't usually take squirrels, but they do. I have seen them stalk birds exactly that same way, where they'll even work together, the pair, to flush birds out of bushes, and then the other adult will come down and grab them. So,
well, yeah, and sometimes they grab them right off of your bird feeder, don't they?
Yep. Yeah, they've definitely adapted to to people and their ability to concentrate breakfast for them.
Glenn, thank you so much for the call. Barbara in Oconomowoc is with us now. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Joy and Andy. Yesterday I saw a fairly large-sized bird that when it was gliding, it was about 2 feet of wingspan. It was all white underneath, and the very ends of the wings, they tipped up, and then it landed on a very tall tree and sat there looking around for a while.
And you don't know what it is. I don't know if you can guess from that description, Andy.
Was it I missed it. Was it a raptor, like a hawk or an owl or something?
I know it wasn't an owl. I'd say it was probably a hawk or something.
There are red-tailed hawks. Every now and then we get reports of almost pure white red-tailed hawks that have a pigmentation problem in the feathers, so like a leucistic red-tailed hawk, and they tend to live for a while, so that's possibly what you saw there. I know a few years ago there was one somewhere in far southeast Wisconsin that people report over and over again. They're very, of course, an all snow white bird like that is very visible from a long ways away, but that's, you know, that sounds like what it could have been.
Very neat. Thank you, Barbara. Sarah in Middleton likes watching juncos in the winter, but she wonders where they hang out in warmer weather.
Yeah, so juncos spend the summer in the boreal forest in Canada, although we do have a few nesting in far northern Wisconsin. So they'll nest, you know, all the way from central Alaska all the way across to Newfoundland and then down into northern Wisconsin. But I always like to tell people that juncos are really a Wisconsin bird that Canada borrows for a few months in the summer, because that junco you see in your backyard, he probably spends more time, more of his life in your backyard than he actually does in Canada.
We just have 30 seconds to go. What birds should we be on the lookout for, especially over this Christmas break?
Well, with all the snow, it's a great time to look, you know, just to watch your feeders, because the birds should be coming. And, you know, keep an eye out for red poles and pine siskins and pine grosbeaks and all those fun winter finches that are visiting us here this year for the winter.
Will do. Thank you so much for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Joy.
Andy Paulius is coordinator of the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative and a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And by the way, a listener posted the website for birdcitywisconsin.org on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network.